That worship. And scriptures would indicate that a third of the angels was drawn with him out of heaven, which now would be called evil spirits or demons or principalities and powers, things that would fight against the nations of the world now, the things that are coming, they're still trying to blind the people of this world. Amen. Known as, it says we had that know your adversary. Then we talked about two kingdoms, one God, and we went into some specifics on those principalities and powers. I'm going to read real quick. Ephesians 6, 10 through 12 says, Finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Our battle's not against your neighbor. Right? Not against your neighbor. It's not against your boss. It's not against your family or some people would think even their husband or wife perhaps. No, it's against the enemy of our soul, Satan. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So we talked about these two kingdoms among God, and then we talked about looking to true authority. God is omnipotent, meaning all-powerful. Omniscient, meaning all-knowing. And then omnipresent, meaning present everywhere at all times. Talked about how God's power has no limit. Did you know that the God, your God, the God that created this heavens and the earth, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that I'm specifically speaking of, the God of the Bible, did you know his power has no limits? Amen. He knows from beginning to end. And we talked about through these weeks how God has given you and I authority. We talked about how Satan was stripped of his authority when Jesus rose from the grave. And we talked about now how the enemy comes against people, how he overpowers people is by deception. Remember, we talked about if there was no people on this earth, what power would the enemy have? So that's why Paul was saying, hey, I know you're seeing maybe the enemy work through people, through leaders, through individuals, the evil that we see in the world. But no, this is the deception of the enemy. We talked about the Adams family, amen? We talked a little bit, I won't stay here long, but about the Adams family, how when Adam and Eve sinned, that sin came into the world, that you became a sinful being, that everybody is born in sin. And we talked about, look, you just have to watch a two-year-old child throw a fit. You feel like you got to cast something out of them right then and there, don't you? Come out in Jesus' name. You know that when as a child you have to train them up. We're talking about training them up in the way of the Lord. That if you don't train up a child, and you just leave them to their own demise, they do all kinds of things that are not good, that are not righteous, that are not holy. Is that a true statement? So we talked about when you're born again, that God takes you out of the Addams family. Remember that old show, The Addams Family? Spiritually, when everybody's born, we look like the Addams family. And then we're born again. He gives us a brand new spirit. He makes us a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Doesn't mean sometimes we could go into why people still have struggles and different things. We could go that route, but we won't go down that trail today. But when you truly give your heart to the Lord, amen, he gives you this new spirit and a new heart. It says he writes his laws on your heart, meaning that you belong to him again. We're going back to as when before Adam and Eve sinned and how they were 100% in their hearts, amen? They belonged to God. There was no part of them that they belonged to the enemy at all. And when we give our hearts to Jesus, the wonderful thing is we may have struggles, but we belong to Jesus 100%. I'm a child of Abraham, and Isaac and Jacob. I am his child. I'm no longer in the enemy's camp. I'm no longer part of the Adams family. I might have things in my life that appear like, no, you still act like Adam. But I'm growing in him, knowing who I belong to. I'm growing in him. I know for sure who I belong to. I know for sure that when I draw my last breath, that where I will be, I will see him face to face. Amen? I know that I belong to him. So that was called looking at true authority. And then last week, it was called the Valley of Decision, talking about where I felt like this moving and shaking. And we're going to talk about it a little bit this morning. But this moving and shaking and everything that we see even politically has not taken God by surprise. But I believe in my heart the things that we've seen in this Valley of Decision, which even we had a prophetic word from the Lord this morning, is what we've seen with, there's been a great separation. There's been an understanding of what's right and what's wrong. And what God is saying to America, you make a decision. Do you want to walk with me? Do you want to walk in truth? Do you want the things that are precious to me, that are dear to my heart, to be dear to you? Or do you want to deceive yourself and walk in the path of unrighteousness, untruths? And do you want to walk in a path of things that break his heart? And so is that, and so the Valley of Decision of this country. It doesn't take, nothing is taking God by surprise where we're at. But people in America do have a decision to make. This is God's design in America. It's not because he's against America. No, on contrary, what we heard this morning, he's trying to wake Americans up. He's trying to shake, wake up! I love you. So that was a Valley Decision. And so this shaking in the world in America, I believe, is about jealousy. You know, when we usually hear the word jealousy, it's not good, huh? Right? But I'm going to talk about, well, today's title is God's Wonderful Jealousy. God's Wonderful Jealousy. God has a jealousy for you and I. Did you know that? He really does. It's Haggai 2, 6 and 9. Let me start reading this as we start reading this, getting into this message today. Haggai 2, 6 through 9 in the ESV version. It says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations." We're there right now. I believe right now he is shaking all nations. "So that the treasures of all nations," hear this part, hear me today, hear his word today, "so that all treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Amen. I love this. Let's go to verse 8 and we'll explain this. It says, "The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts." So the former glory being under the old covenant and under the worship of with priests and the old covenant, what you had to do to please God, to walk with God, that old covenant, the one that they received when they left and they crossed the Red Sea. And so then they're in the desert. Remember, God gave them the covenant, that old covenant. So that was the old glory. Man, in the old glory, there were some amazing things. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the power of God was there so strong that the priests could not perform their duties. They were powerful, powerful things that were happening under that old covenant. Even when Moses would go up the mountain of Sinai and he would be there with the Lord, he would come down off of Mount Sinai and his face would shine with his glory. But this word here even says that the latter glory would be greater than the former glory. There was a shining that was going on his outward, on his face, but it would dissipate. It would begin, that glow would begin to dissipate to where it wasn't there. But with the glory of God that's within you and I by the Holy Spirit, that glory is meant to stay there day after day after day after day. His glory within you doesn't begin to wane or go down. No, it's always there. He's always with you and I. That latter house, it says the glory of the latter house, meaning that not only Jews, but also Gentiles, people from every walk would be able to come into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. The glory of this house. And it also anticipates, it's always talking about an outpouring of God that would happen in the latter days before Jesus returns. I believe with all my heart, as the Lord stirs my heart, as I pursue him, seek him, but that he's going to do something mighty and powerful in this generation. The glory of this latter reign is going to be greater, I believe, than anything we've seen. Dr. R.T. Kendall, who is, if you read this book, he goes into those things and scriptures and things that God has shown him about what God's going to do. What I love about this, he says, it doesn't matter what America does, you're not going to keep from God pouring out his spirit in these last days. It doesn't matter what Satan does. It doesn't matter the traps. It doesn't matter the deceptions that he puts in front of people. Nothing's going to stop what God's going to do in this latter days, because he is a jealous God. He's a jealous God. I'm going to take time to get there, because I would love just to dig right into that. But let me set the table a little bit. And so number one, the point, the shaking is to get people's attention that we're seeing. It's God saying, here I am. It's me, your creator. The one who loves you with a love deeper than any love this earth can, anything on this earth can offer. A shaking, some people will look at it and say this shaking is, oh, God's angry and he's shaking things because he is so mad and somebody's going to get it. And we all have a list of those who we say, I hope they get it. Isn't that a true statement? I've talked to you. You guys have talked to me. But see, when you have a shaking like this, this isn't God saying, I can't wait to get you. It's God saying, wake up, here I am. Your creator, the one who loves you. Here I am. I'm here. I'm the answer to everything that ails you in your life. Here I am. I'm the answer of everything that allows depression to rule in your life. Here, I'm the answer to everything, to the disillusionments of life, of maybe you thought you had life all figured out and you had your steps. You ever been there? The steps of life, of how everything would turn out, and then something happens and that whole vision and dream can crumble. He's the one that says, here I am. I'm the one that can restore you. Here I am still. I'm the one that loves you. Here I am. Don't be one of those who thinks the things that are shaking and you just assume there's God's anger. Somebody's going to get it. But look at this. There's a shaking and God is saying, hey, here I am. Here I am. I love you still, America. I still want to do a work in you. I'm speaking of America because that's where I live. I know God has a plan for every nation. He has a desire for every people. I know he has a desire still for the people. I know the roots and where this country came from. I'm not saying she was a perfect country, but I know it's not as bad as everybody would like me to believe now as well. I know what the root of this country is. I know the missionaries that they've sent out around the world. I know that the monies they've sent to different countries to help them. I know that country who sent their men and women to die on foreign soil that they might experience freedom. I know the roots of this country. So you can give your lives to somebody else. I know what God desires for this country. I won't believe that. He's shaking this country so that they could to go down the toilet. He's shaking it. He's saying, here I am. Come back to me. I love you. That's what God is trying to do. He's a God of love and purpose. When it says the gold and silver are mine, precious, he's talking about the precious souls of people. God doesn't need gold and silver here on this earth. Heaven's, right? The heavens, the roads are paved with gold. He doesn't need our gold or our silver. When he's talking about precious things, he's talking about the most important commodity there is in the universe, and that's the soul of mankind. The most important thing on this earth. The silver and gold are mine. It says all the people's souls. You're more precious than silver. You're more precious than gold. You're more precious than anything you could obtain on this earth. See, the souls of people are what's precious to him. We may be looking at things, temporal things, gold and silver, but he's looking at the things that aren't temporal. He's looking at those things that are silver and gold that are eternal. The souls that were made in his image, mankind. You know, Deuteronomy 4:24 says this, for the Lord your God is a consuming fire, a jealous God. A jealous God. We're gonna talk about that, and we're going to talk about it in a little different format this morning about jealousy. I was thinking of jealousy, the jealousy that maybe we understand or know here on the earth point to an example of God's amazing jealousy is different than the world's jealousy. I was 30 years ago, maybe if you're old enough, you remember this, there was two skaters, one named Tanya Harding, and then Kerrigan. What was her name? Her name is not Minnie. That was a type error. Nancy. Do you saw there what jealousy does? And so Tanya, the skater Tanya, she thought she might not make the Olympic team. And she was jealous of Nancy Kerrigan because she was just a little bit better than her. And she thought, you know, if she was out of the way, I could probably be on the Olympic team. And so her an ex-husband who was her manager and his group of friends, with Tanya knowing this, hatched this plan that when Nancy was practicing, somebody came in and had like metal pipe, and came by here and just hit her as hard as they could on the leg. And you could see that Nancy just crying and bawling in pain as she was holding her leg. And so this whole scheme was unraveled, and they found out what happened, and some people went to prison. And then Tanya was at, this is after the Olympics, she was banned from ever skating professionally again. She lost her opportunity. It's interesting that, you know, she did end up going to the Olympics. Tanya, but instead of winning anything, it's interesting. During her performance, what she was doing there, her lace on her skate come untied, and she had to stop and tie the laces on her skate, therefore forfeiting any chance that she would win any type of medal. Isn't that interesting? All that scheming because of jealousy, to be on the Olympic team, ends up being thwarted by a knot in her shoe coming untied. See that, you know, we think of jealousy in this earth and as that's the worst case example, and there's a good jealousy, amen. But we think of God's jealousy, of this anger, or of like the jealousy that we experience on earth. But I'm telling you, as we go through this, God's jealousy is nothing like that. An example of God's amazing jealousy. Hosea, so we're going to get into this story that maybe you know of with Hosea and Gomer a little bit. Hosea and Gomer. Hosea was a prophet. And so in Hosea 1, God does something really interesting. Let's read this. In Hosea 1, starting in verse 2, it says, when the Lord first spoke through Hosea. So when the Lord first started speaking and said, Hosea, I want you to speak to the children of Israel for me. This is what said when the Lord first spoke through Hosea. The Lord said to Hosea, go take for yourself a wife inclined to infidelity. So this is what it would say. Go find a wife that is in prostitution. Go find a wife that is living in prostitution. And so what he said, go out there, however the prostitutes did their things there, and pick out somebody there. And so find somebody inclined to infidelity and children of infidelity, meaning through these relationships, having children. For the land commits flagrant infidelity, he was talking about, abandoning the Lord. We'll talk about how the Lord looks at this. So he went and took Gomer. You know he was in trouble in the first place when I'm going to pick Gomer, it's going to be my wife. So he finds one, he finds a prostitute, and he says, and Gomer, you're going to do. The Lord has told me to marry a prostitute. Being a prophet of God, could you imagine that, and that lifestyle, and that person, God says, hey, Gomer, would you go marry a prostitute? And God had a purpose, so he went and found Gomer, and it says she conceived and bore him a son. And so Gomer ends up having three children with Hosea. And what seemed like a beautiful family, you know, he does what God tells him, and Gomer, you know, and he brings her in, and he marries her, and he cherishes her, and he loves her, and he takes care of her, and they have three children. And even after that, what seemed like a beautiful family, Gomer says, I'm going back to prostitution. This is what she does. I'm going back to prostitution. You aren't good enough, Hosea. The life we've made together just doesn't satisfy me, my soul, or my fantasy of what life should be like. So Gomer leaves, and then God begins to compare Israel to Gomer. God said, I blessed Israel, and they turned to other gods. Remember we talked about last week in that valley of decisions of all the things that people will worship. We talked about those things that will worship at the, you know, worship at, we talked about the LGBTQIA, and we talked about the different things that, well, God is willing to save everybody, but I'm talking about things where people are actually worshiping and bowing at entities and powers that are opposed to God without even knowing it. This was like what Israel's doing. What he was saying is Gomer, comparing Gomer is all of Israel was worshiping other gods, and so God was saying, hey, come back to me, and they were worshiping other gods and worshiping the Baals. The Baals is where they would sacrifice their children. Amen. We talked about that. They were all these different gods they began to worship. And he compared that to what he was doing to Gomer. He was saying, Hosea, you married this gal, you brought her in, and Israel is just like Gomer, meaning she's decided to go away and prostitute herself to other gods. And so, in other words, Israel turned their hearts to other affections. And what God is speaking to people in America today is, say, what is your affections? He's saying, I love you. What are your affections? What have you turned to in America where it's taking God's place in our hearts, his affection, how much he loves us and cares for us? He's looking for our affection like Gomer when Hosea married Gomer and said, hey, I come out of that, what you're doing. I love you. I want to take care of you. And after a period of time, she says, no, I want to go back to what I was doing before. And what God was saying to Israel at that time was saying, you're going back to worshiping gods like you did back before I brought you out of Egypt. You're going back and worshiping and giving your affection to other gods besides me. And so God today for America is saying, hey, I love you. Where are your affections? I gave my life to you. I have a purpose for you and your family. I have a purpose for you, America. But where is your affections? Where are your sights laid upon? I can do my own thing. I can do whatever I want with my body. I don't need anybody telling me what to do. We know what's right or wrong. But what God is saying is, I recreated you, America. I gave you a purpose. I love you. Your affections have shifted away from me unto your own wisdom and knowledge. You've made a God out of those things. I'm the one that's made you great. I'm the one that gave you a purpose, and your affections are not towards me anymore. You've listened to voices of lies. Boy, I'm so glad that's not the end of the message. But you know, God's amazing jealousy. God's amazing jealousy showed up in a very, very powerful way. See, his amazing jealousy shows us his grace and his mercy. When it talks about his jealousy for people, for America, what he's saying is, I created you. I created you with a purpose. I didn't turn away from you. You turned away from me. I'm the one that blessed you. I'm the one that's still blessing you, whether it be financially or the things you... I'm the one that blessed you. I'm the one that did that for you. It wasn't your own doing. It wasn't your own wisdom. It wasn't your own intellect. It wasn't your own hard work. It was my providence, grace, and mercy and blessing upon you. And so we have Gomer that says, hey, I'm out. I'm bouncing. Or I'm trying to sound young. It's not working, huh? Gomer says, Hosea, thanks for the three children, but I'm out. I'm gone. You're not what I thought you were. And so that could have been at the end of the story, but this is what God says to Hosea in chapter 3. And this is what I believe he's saying to America. Then the Lord said to me, go again, love a woman who is loved by her husband, yet is committing adultery. As the Lord loves the sons of Israel, though they turn to other gods and love raisin cakes, and that's talking about a certain type of worship and live in your home. Nothing wrong with liking raisin cakes, just so you know. I don't know who would like raisin cakes, but it's a different subject. They've turned to other gods. Verse 2, so I purchased her for myself. This is what he did. He said, Gomer got herself in trouble, got herself in hock. She's left Hosea. The Lord says, go back and find her. Verse 2, so I purchased her for myself for 15 shekels of silver and a homer and a lethic of barley. Then I said to her, you shall live with me for many days. You shall not play the prostitute, nor shall you have another man, so I will also be toward you. See, this is an allegory of the new covenant. See, Jesus purchased you and I with his blood. He purchased us with something far greater than silver or gold, because you and I are of such great value, far above anything silver or gold. The person, whether it's under a bridge or living in a skyscraper, they have they're the most valuable things to God. Oh, how he loves you and I. Even though Gomer had gone and done her own thing, which an analogy for would be somebody who says, yeah, I know the Lord, I love the Lord, or even a part of the United States that says, yeah, that's fine, but we're going to do our own thing now. We're going to go do our own thing. Lord, you weren't enough. You didn't satisfy. Or we found something greater to bring satisfaction to things of this world, worshiping other things besides the God, your creator. And so what God says is he went out and searched through Hosea, went out and searched for her, even though she had rejected him because of his great jealousy and love, and said, I'm buying you back. I'm paying all your debts. You got yourself in huge trouble. You're in $38 or $35 trillion in debt in America. You know, God, if we would turn our hearts to him, he can buy that back. He can still change this nation. If people just realize how much God loves them. There's no debt too big of sin in your life. There's no debt that you might even have right now financially that you got yourself in that God can't bring you out of that. Did you know that? So he says, what Hosea went and brought her back. You know, this is the allegory of the new covenant. While the Jews and the Romans were abusing my Lord and Savior, Jesus, he was demonstrating the most powerful jealousy known to mankind. Jesus was saying, if it takes my dying on the cross and becoming the sin of this world in order to purchase mankind back, I'll do it. It was God the Father saying, those keys Lucifer have of hell and death and sin and despair and shame, thank you very much. I have been waiting since the Garden of Eden to take those back from you, Satan. Those are now mine. I've had a righteous jealousy of what you took from Adam and Eve, Satan. Perfect fellowship and blessing and peace with me. God has been jealous of the relationship he made mankind to have with him. All the other altars and gods Satan and fallen man have created is designed to take what our jealous God wants from you, your affection. He wants our affection. From our own free will, he made us to love him. He wants you to return the one thing he has for us, it's love. He made us to have a relationship with love and affection. See, Satan, that truly wicked, jealous being, wants the one thing God made you for, love and true affection with the Father. That's his jealousy. The jealousy that he has for mankind and what he has with America is not to say, there's coming a day when he's going to pour out his wrath. The Bible talks about that. But right now, with the shaking that we see in America, I believe with all my heart, this is what he's saying. I'm jealous for you. I created you for a greater purpose. Don't turn away from me. I love you. I want to restore you. I don't care if you're a Gomer out doing all the wicked things that we see people in the world. Man, I want to restore. I'll still buy you back. I paid the price. Man, I can wipe all of that away. I love you. Return to me. Give me that love. Just give me your affection and love. This relationship that he wants to have with mankind, if we're not careful, we can do it. We can turn it into a list of do's and don'ts, and we know those things are wrong, but when you even remove all those things, he's talking about an affection and a love that he wants to have as he wants to come and live in us, amen? We're so precious and have a relationship with us. He's jealous for you because he made you and paid a price, and what he's saying is, you belong to me. America, you belong to me. And so as we see this great shaking, this is what I'm hoping, that people begin to wake up. As what was said this morning was a true word. America, wake up. I am your righteousness. I am your peace. I am your prosperity. I am your strength. Amen. I am your wisdom. I am your healing. I am your deliverance. I'm the one that can bless your marriage. I'm the one that will bless your children. I'm the one that will bless the works of your hand. It won't be yours. If you want to continue to think that it is your strength and your power, I'll continue to shake things until you wake up and say, no, it wasn't me, Lord. It was you the whole time. That is what God is wanting from the people of America right now. His jealousy says this: you belong to me. You belong to him this morning? Yeah. The last couple weeks, I've never known more that the God has given me these messages. As I read his word about his jealousy, I'm so glad that he's jealous for me. I'm so glad that I'm so valuable to him that I don't have to live in jealousy towards others. Man, he's given me everything I need. He's made me the way I am. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you've made me the way that I am. Lord, I thank you that I'm precious in your sight. And when we realize how precious we are in his sight, as Gina comes to the piano, as we realize how precious we are in his sight, the things of this world begin to lose their hold upon us. We start realizing that he's truly our satisfaction. We realize that he has made us for purposes. As we continue to walk and grow in him, he'll reveal to us. He still made us for things that no matter what you've done the last 5, 10, 20 years, he's still saying, I want you. 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 You belong to me. Submit your life to me. Give your life to me. I paid the price for you. I'm jealous for you. Can you stand up with me? A couple more scriptures. What was Jesus' heart? Amen. Do you love him this morning? Do you realize how much he loves us? Amen. Did you know he still loves America? Did you know he still loves Democrats and Republicans, independents, those on the right, those on the left, those that are desperately lost? He paid a price for them. He paid a price for them. He's a jealous God. He wants every soul. He wants every soul. I know not every soul comes to him, but he wants every soul. He said, man, I paid the price for you. I made you. If you just realize you belong to me. You know, knowing that he's jealous for me, it gives me confidence. See, if he's jealous for me and says, you belong to me, boy, that gives me confidence. That makes me able to lift my head high and walk with confidence in all my struggles. Say, man, not only do I belong to him, but he hears me. He loves me. He wants to commune with me. He wants to give me victory. But man, we have to realize by faith saying, Lord, I belong to you. Matthew 23:37. This was Christ's heart. This is what I believe God is saying to America. I parallel a lot with America and Israel. I know we're not Israel, but just the way America was, the womb of America, what it came from. Does that make sense? When they got off, when they came over, when the Puritans came over, and wanting freedom of religion and committing their lives to the Lord. Matthew 23:37. I feel like this is what God, he would say this, oh, America, oh, America. This is, oh, Jerusalem, oh, Jerusalem, but oh, America,
Oh, America. And this is what happened. The city that's killed the prophets. What he's saying here, ones that have just, they haven't been willing to hear the truth anymore. Killing the voice of righteousness and truth. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often I would have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. I don't know about you, but my prayer is this, that, man, more and more people in America would not have this attitude of we're not willing, but they would hear this voice, put their name in it, say, oh, America, oh, America, the city that's resisted me, man, how I desire to gather you. Will you listen to me? Father, we thank you today for this great nation. Lord, I thank you for this great nation. And Lord, I know, and Lord, though we see a lot of areas of darkness, Lord, I pray that we would have the same heart that Jesus said what he had to Jerusalem, as he knew they were going to kill him, the religious leaders were going to hang him on a cross. That his heart's, there's another scripture similar to this where it says he looked over Jerusalem and he began to weep. His heart is the same way with America now. His heart weeps. Lord, we pray, Lord, that people's eyes would be open again. Lord, we ask for you to pour out your Holy Spirit afresh and anew. Lord, we pray that you pour out a move of God that America hasn't experienced since the great awakenings, Lord, the first and second great awakening, Lord, as you poured out your Spirit, as millions came into the kingdom of God. Father God, we pray that once again, your grace, your jealous grace and mercy would be poured out on America again, Lord, that as the shaking continues to happen, that more and more people begin to awake, that those things that have been in their lives that have kept them from coming to you would begin to shake loose and drop to the ground. And Lord, that their eyes would be open to you, Father God, our neighbors, our family, our children, Father, we thank you for a move of God taking place, Father God, before Jesus comes again. Father, we thank you for a move of God. Thank you for your people having a heart for like you, Lord, your jealousy for people, Father God, to have the kindness, Father God, to have the heart for people like you do, Lord. We thank you, Father, as we even begin to go to the grocery stores and the different things, that your Spirit already is beginning to move on people to share the love of Christ. We thank you for moving in supernatural signs and wonders, not from just people in the pulpit, from just regular people, Father, as they go about their business, Father God, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover. Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do in America, Father. We thank you that you are a jealous God leading to a harvest of souls. So, Lord, we honor you and we thank you. We praise you and we exalt you. Would you say this? What is the purpose of this message today for me, and I hope for other people? What was said this morning, what voices are you listening to? And what voices are you listening to? There's a million voices to listen to. What are you listening to that has encouraged you to love your fellow man? Does it encourage you to love your fellow man? Or does it encourage you to hate people that Christ shed his blood for? He's a jealous God. Father, thank you for driving out voices that are counterproductive to the love and the goodness and the grace and the mercy and the strength and the power and the anointing of God. And Lord, may we hear your pure voice in our hearts, Father. Pure words from the Word of God. Lord, may our hearts be broken for Gomers like yours, Lord. Lord, for Gomers in our life, people that we may oppose. May we have your heart and your love, Father, for all the Gomers out there, Father God. Those that are running from you, that oppose you, that are living wicked lifestyles, Lord. May we see them the way you do. Those that may be opposing you right now, Lord. Those who have backslidden, Lord, that knew you like Gomer at one time and decided to leave, Lord. Thank you for bringing all the Gomers back, Father, into your mercy and your grace and your strength and your power, Lord. May they see your jealous love in this day and age as you restore people that say that, Lord, I've gone too far. I've gone too far from God. I can't come back to the things that I've done. Lord, we thank you for your mercy and your love through your people. restoring people in this hour just like that. And so, Lord, we thank you for touching hearts. Thank you for softening our hearts. Thank you for softening our hearts, Lord. Lord, thank you. Help us not to separate from people, but to draw close to people that you love. Thank you, Jesus. You love them, Lord. Just take it. Lord, thank you, Jesus. Maybe just say, Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart. Lord, I don't know about you, but Lord, thank you for speaking to my heart about your jealous love for people. How we love you. How we exalt you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Thank you for speaking to hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you for softening hearts. Hallelujah. Thank you for filling people afresh and anew with your Holy Spirit, Lord. Thank you for softening hearts. Thank you for breaking through layers of hardness. Amen. Let's sing this song with Gina and then we'll dismiss. Amen. Just pray your presence would just go with us. And Lord, would you continue to speak to us this week about your jealousy for people and even our own lives and what that really means, Lord, for our families and for America. And with that, Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.